If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Dead & Company, Touch of Grey from Wrigley Field in Chicago, Illinois, September 18th, 2021. That, of course, was the encore for the last show of the first leg of the summer fall tour. Is it a summer fall tour? Is it a spring summer fall tour?
It's the summer fall tour, first leg, end of the that part of the tour.
Milking of old Deadheads cash boxes. That's what it is. That's the tour. That's what the tour should be called, I think.
I don't know if they would want to name it that, but sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm looking at the second set, the second leg.
Second leg. That was the first leg.
Same as the first, but a little bit harder and a little bit worse. Okay, so the second the second leg starts October 6, 2021 in West Palm Beach, Florida. Well, that makes sense. That's where old people go to retire. But then there's a whole bunch of more shows after that. Like a whole bunch more. Like right. All of October.
Right. So it's not the end of the tour. It's just the end of the first leg of the tour.
That's right. The first leg is done.
Correct.
Okay. So then it's really cliche that they play Touch of Grey.
Yeah. It is.
Are they going to open the second leg with Touch of Grey? Because I think they open the tour with Touch of Grey.
That makes sense. It would be cheesy if they opened the second leg of the tour with Touch of Grey.
Music never stopped, right?
That's also cheesy. I like the opener, Let the Good Times Roll. I know that's also cheesy, but I like that as an opener.
Yeah, but they did that opener. They did that opener on this tour. I think they did it maybe the first night at Wrigley or something.
I'm okay with that. They can do it again.
Oh, so they have your blessing now.
Yes. Please open with Let the Good Times Roll.
Let the Good Times Roll. Okay. So they have your blessing.
Like they're listening to me.
Yeah, that's right. The first night at Wrigley, they open with Let the Good Times Roll. I was right.
I dig it.
By the way, I'm Ira Haberman, and that voice, the other guy you hear, the other attractive young man you hear.
A young man.
That's Adam Karsh. And this, of course, is the Sound Podcast. Got me all out of my game there.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
We're doing okay.
Let's talk about this. Goose has been playing shows and attracting crowds for a while now. They played the See Here Now Festival in New Jersey, Ashbury Park, New Jersey, on the weekend, September 18th. And this was a festival with Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins and a whole list of people. But I'm told that Goose stole the show, and why not? They did a little set. A little over an hour. Yeti, Arcadia, Madhoven, Turn Clouds, and The Empress of Organos were the songs that they played. And they were outstanding by all accounts.
No doubt.
Best new band, you would say, in the scene right now?
Oh, my God. By a long shot. For me, for you, I feel... Absolutely. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, they're really great.
I love them.
I love them. You know, I shouldn't say that. I listen to a lot of bands, but the only bands that I listen to over and over again right now are Dead, Fish, Goose, Spafford, Dusters, Green Sky. Okay, it's a big list. But the point is that Goose is in that list.
For sure.
They're awesome.
Oh, I love them very much. Thank you for introducing me to them.
Yeah, well, just hop on the bandwagon. Everybody's hopping on. I saw Fish co-lyricist Tom Marshall now is on the Goose bandwagon. They're all hopping on, man.
They're amazing.
Just remember where you heard about them first, kids. The Sound Podcast, right here, years ago. Trey Anastasio band tour started off last week with new bassist Desron Douglas and saxophonist Kochimi Gaslam. Now, of course, Desron is filling in or taking the spot of Tony Markalis, who passed away earlier in the spring. And Kochimi Gaslam is taking the place of James Casey, who was diagnosed with cancer just a few weeks ago. We wish him a speedy recovery. And listen to this. This is kind of cool. In Boston, Jeff Kressman sat in on trombone, and he's Natalie Kressman's dad. So that's pretty wacky and wild and cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like, would you want any of your parents to share the stage with you?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, my parents are pretty cool and into good music, but share the stage? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Like, don't bug me at work, Dad. Right?
Exactly.
I think it's a little weird. And by the way, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but there is a new project from Holly Bowling and Tom Hamilton Jr. So Holly came west over the summer. She rented one of those buses with her husband and her newborn baby. And they did a tour. And of course, we played some of the stuff from the wilderness tour that she did, those shows that she did that were exquisite, you know, from the salt fields in Utah and all kinds of crazy Grand Canyon, maybe even.
I saw that.
All those things that she did. Anyway, she came east from, she lives out west. She came east. And when she was in Philadelphia, she hung out with Tommy Hamilton Jr. in Philly. And he has his own studio. And they recorded some stuff. And they've named the project Lacuna. And it's ambient music. I, of course, have listened to it.
Of course.
It's not who you know, it's what you know. No, in this case, it is who you know. It's ambient music. It's very cool. It's just piano and guitar. Acoustic guitar. It's very nice. It comes out November 19th. I saw online today that you can order vinyl for $20. And if you want to do that, check out New Potato Music. Oh, we'll leave a link. We'll find a link and we'll put that in the show notes for you. But Lacuna comes out November 19th, and I highly encourage you to check it out. Lots more to come up on the show. We've got our whole other segment where we talk about Green Sky Bluegrass over at Red Rocks. And of course, later on in the show, AC from Talk drops by to talk about their new album, Chaos Companion. But let's break here and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Hey, I wanted to make sure that you all know all the places where you can join the conversation and interact with us and the rest of the Sound Podcast community. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just follow @TheSoundWithIra. Also, the best way to reach out directly to us is on those platforms, preferably Twitter. But whatever works best for you obviously works well for us. Now, back to the show.
Thank you. take my place. Ain't no way in the world I'm going out that front door. This is a man down there. Might be old man, I don't know.
listening to Green Sky Bluegrass and their cover of Sonny Boy Williamson's One Way Out, performed at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Morrison, Colorado, September 19th, 2021. And the incredible Holly Bowling joined them on stage for that. One Way Out, of course, was popularized by the Allman Brothers Band. It's a great tune. Mm-hmm. And Holly played the whole second set and the encore with Green Sky Bluegrass September 19th, 2021. So you'll want to check that show out on nugs.net. And we'll provide a link to the show in the notes. Now, Adam.
Yo.
Before we get to what we're listening to.
Yep.
I have this conundrum that I've been having. As you know, I mostly live, I would say 80% of the time, I live alone. Well, alone with my turtle, but mostly alone.
Right.
Every other weekend, my girls are here. They hang out. But mostly I'm here alone. And I'm either in the studio, which is this little space that I'm in right now, which people have seen before in pictures and such.
Yep.
Or I'm in my room, or I'm down over yonder in the den. And it's not like it's not a huge space. So I tend not to listen to music on headphones. I tend to either listen to music on my Sonos system or just on my iPhone. I mean, it's got stereo speakers and it's pretty good when I'm like in my bed or whatever. But here's the conundrum. Every now and then, I think, man, I should really be listening to this on headphones.
Yeah.
And then I think, is it weird for somebody to listen to headphones if they're by themselves?
No. I understand what you're saying. I'm with you. I mean, thanks to you, most of my toys are influenced from you. I'm like, do I need a Sonos soundbar? And you're like, yeah, you do. Okay. Yeah. So I got a Sonos soundbar.
Yeah, you do. Oh, great.
And then this isn't Sonic, but I'm like, I don't need an Apple Watch. And you're like, yeah, you do. Well, now I have an Apple Watch. And then you're like, you need AirPod Pros. And I'm like, well, I have AirPods. And you said, well, that's not good enough. So thanks to you, I now, and I'm holding them up to the,
yeah,
you can see them. This is just,
I
have AirPod Pros. AirPod Pros are actually leaps and bounds ahead of I had the first generation AirPods, not even close. AirPod Pros, and I realize that we're not being sponsored by Apple.
Yeah.
No. AirPod Pros, oh my God, fantastic. So I get it. And to your question, when I'm by myself, I do listen to music in my AirPods. It's nice to have the sound directly in my ears.
All right. I just think it would be weird. Like, you know, I have these headphones that I'm wearing right now. These are Sony Cans.
They're very nice. They're professional.
Yeah. They're, well,
you're a professional.
Obviously.
Obviously.
And I have AirPod Pros, and I also have a great pair of Sony 900XN, I think they're called, wireless headphones that are really great. And I also, because I like my hip hop with the bassy beats,
yeah,
I have a pair of Beats as well, which are probably, of all of the headphones that I own, probably the crappiest, but I like my bass.
I get bumping. It.
I like it. I bumping. Get it. You know what I mean?
Bumping. I get it.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, that's why I have the Beats, because I like the bass bumping. I like to feel it. You know what I mean?
As radio people like you and I are, you can't just own one pair of headphones. You need at least three or four to be considered anything legitimate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%.
I have multiple pairs of headphones. I have earbuds. I have Apple AirPod Pros. I have Bose. I mean, it depends what you're doing. It depends what you're listening to. It depends what you want. But there's no way that people like you and I could just deal with one pair of earbuds to take care of it all.
Yeah. So you don't think it would be weird if I walked around my house with headphones on?
Not at all. I do the same thing. I'm with you.
Yeah, but you're weird.
I am weird. So are you. We're both weird.
Okay. All right. Fine.
All right.
So what have you been listening to?
Oh, you're not going to like this. I can tell you, but you're not going to like it. early 70s bootleg recordings of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
You're supposed to be my friend, not my nemesis. Why do you keep doing this to me show after show?
I love you. I love you dearly. And we can differ on this. I love Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, especially early 1970 era bootlegs. Oh my God. I just think they're beautiful. Their harmonies are amazing. The songs are amazing. The sound is amazing. I know you're like judging me right now. You're like, I don't like to hear this. Right.
I think it would be really nice if you just listened to Stills and Nash. They have some records. There are a couple of records.
Yeah, I know. I like all of them together. I like all of them individually. I met Stephen Stills. I think it was either 95 or 96. I have to check the date. Stephen Stills was in Toronto. Could have been 95. Played a solo acoustic show and at the Warehouse. Remember the Warehouse, right?
Yes.
Right. So I saw him, and at the end of the show, it was really casual. At his tour bus, went to the tour bus with my friends. Uh-huh. I met him. I shook his hand and he signed my ticket. And it was a beautiful, glorious moment in my life.
Well, I'm glad you did that, because the other two, Neil and Crosby, wouldn't sign jack shit for you, probably.
I know they wouldn't. I know they would not.
Or they would if it was at like a VIP meet and greet where you had to pay a lot of money to meet them, because they're very important people.
I know what you're saying. I don't disagree. I know what you're saying. But I'm saying early 70s, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I just love the music they're putting out in that era.
Right. Well, we spoke about it a few weeks ago. There is the David Geffen documentary on mm-hmm. Netflix right now, and you know, David Geffen managed those guys for a bit then, so okay, kudos to David Geffen and kudos to them making a lot of money and kudos to writing great songs, and listen, I'm not going to say that they're not brilliant. They're obviously brilliant musicians, but he gives me the shivery timbers whenever I think of
I don't disagree with you. I know where you're coming from and I understand it. And I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with that side of things. I get it. But musically, their harmonies, their lyrics, I just love them. And I love that early 70s sound. Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful.
So are you adding Eric Clapton now to your song list?
Nope.
And are you adding Roger Waters to
never Roger Waters
what
oh,
you're
God,
listening
no.
to maybe Van Morrison.
I don't want to hear I don't want to hear Roger Waters sing past Animals. That's the end of my Roger Waters enjoyment. Animals is it.
Okay, well, he's a filthy animal, so that makes sense.
That was a good one.
I gotta tell you, all I've been listening to is The Dead.
Well, that they're always high in the mix for me. Is there anything
specific? not like Dead and Company, not J-Rad, not
the Grateful Dead
Orchestra, Dark Star Orchestra, Phil and Friends, although Phil and Friends did have some hot shows with Holly the weekend. I'm listening to the Grateful Goddamn Dead.
Well, I always listen to them. Always. I mean,
Red Rocks,
you ask,
78.
Beautiful. Woo! I have that series. You know, the official releases.
That's what I've been listening to. Yeah.
Good. You should be. Good. I always listen to the great. When you ask me what I'm listening to, just disclaimer, I tell you what I'm listening to in addition to the Grateful Dead. Every day I listen to the Grateful Dead. Period. End of story.
Of course, there is homework that I have to do. I mean, there is work that I have to do for the people. I have to listen to the new Talk record, and we'll get into that a bit with AC, Chaos Companion. I think it's an amazing record. I listen to the new Howlin' Rain record.
Right.
It's with me today. Howlin' Rain record.
I know what you mean.
Dharma Wheel. It's amazing. I listen to the new Soja record. It's amazing. I've listened to Lacuna. It's amazing. A publicist who is responsible for a lot of the guests that we have, sent me a list of SoundCloud things to listen to. And he said, let me know when you get through this. Oh, I have the Neil Cassell tribute. Do you want that too? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. It's only 36 tracks, three CDs. So I haven't gotten there yet. But it's all groovy, baby. It's all groovy.
Right on.
All right, let's leave things there, Adam. When we come back, we'll hear my conversation with AC from Talk as we talk about the band's new album, Chaos Companion.
You're listening to The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Did you know that we're constantly building playlists of artists we feature on the show? We also have lots of fun playlists and, of course, 7 things you should be listening to and all the things you should be listening to at our Spotify account. Simply search for The Sound Podcast on Spotify or go to thesoundpodcast.com/Spotify and you can easily follow the channel or individual playlists. Now, back to the show. You've been listening to Talk and the Let Out from Chaos Companion. And coming up now, my conversation with AC from Talk. So psyched about Chaos Companion. It's been a while since you guys have put out a record. This one is due out on Friday, September 24th. It's 9 tracks that take you on a bit of a journey. Does this record get made if there's no pandemic?
Yeah, I think it gets made for sure. I mean, listen, it's been a minute since we put out a studio record. And for us, you know, if you look at our releases, that's something that we always push ourselves to do. From 2013, 14, 15, we always was trying to put something out and be consistent and kind of show, you know, what we're doing. So this would have definitely came out. I think we wanted to do something different and make a different statement. So I think we're pulling from all our different sources and our resources and kind of laying it out on the table, you know, kind of like, you ever see those crime movies where like the investigator, the PI has like the thumbtacks and it's like linked to this victim's face and this person. And like, imagine those as the songs. That's literally what we're kind of doing. We had two whiteboards and we wrote all the songs out and looked at, you know, see which ones fit best, what vibes were feeling or were working with certain songs as a group. So it was really fun to partake in that process for us.
It kind of does also sonically run the gamut, not just in terms of genre, but in terms of what you're doing from like, you know, 70s like movie scores to like video game stuff and art. There's like R&B hooks. Like it really is crazy. All of you brought all of those different things to the table and then mapped it out like on a plotter board at the FBI.
Yes, within our evil layer, our evil studio layer, Inspector Gadget at the soundboard.
Yeah.
But for real, yes, those you're kind of dead on as far as some of those songs, some where we're pulling from. So to kind of give you the full story, we had about 30 songs that we came into pre-production with, right? And we laid these basic ideas down from those songs. We pulled the 9 that, you know, comprise Chaos Companion. And sonically, that's something that we wanted to do with our music, make it a little bit more cinematic and actually like appeal to those kind of outlets, you know, whether it be synchronization deals, licensing, placements, movies, commercials. I think being an instrumental band gives us this platform. So we kind of had these songs as a collection and it was a little bit more electronic in some kind of ways, but we wanted to kind of bridge those gaps, but still have the power and the raw element of like what we always try to do in our live show, especially.
It's interesting that you mentioned the electronic bit because that means that you're busier than the rest of the guys. I mean, how many loops are you touching? How many syncs are you touching in terms of all the sounds that the four of you are putting out? I would imagine that a lot of it relies on you hitting stuff and the drummer hitting stuff, right?
Well, in the past, what we've done is any loops, we've never been on a clock, right? A MIDI clock. Everything we've done has just been just timed, you know? If we have a loop, I make it a loop for Isaac on his drum pad, he'll trigger that. And he's the master of the, you know, the click there, you know, at that point, and then we're reacting to him. So we still maintain that fluidity without being rigid. You know, sometimes you think about EDM music and, you know, like a whole set will start at maybe like 80 BPM and end up by like 92. You know, it's a much different way of thinking about how to map and how to navigate a soundscape. You know, and for us and for me, creating that bed and those layers so that the melodies can soar and the rhythm can really manifest is the, kind of my responsibility and the role in the band. So it's nice to be able to have so much more to pull from. And right now we've started incorporating Ableton into what we've been doing. And we realized as we start to layer these tracks and kind of make this, you know, this sonic foundation and build it, that in order to stay true and be able to do these things live, that, you know, adding Ableton and, you know, computer to help us organize and help us just stay true to what this new music is, was a big help and helps me, you know, and so I don't have to like grow two more arms.
Fair enough. Let's talk about some of the tunes on the record. I gotta tell you, I mean, there's so much to talk about, but the Let Out is one of those songs where it, you think you're listening to a 90s R&B tune. You have to think that, you know, Babyface is somehow involved in the LA Babyface is somehow involved in the production of the tune. And then you get hit over the head with like some Rage Against the Machine. Like, how do you go from thinking one way to going in a completely other direction in the same tune? Like, it's a mashup. It's hard to explain to people without them hearing it, but how do you go from this 90s R&B thing into this raw energy of Rage?
I think it's about what feels good. You know, I know that sounds kind of like, you know, like a stereotypical, like, comment about someone asks you about their music, but it's for me and for us, a lot of times, you know, I think about what feels good in a live show, like what's going to make somebody headbang, what's going to give you the stank lip, you know, and or what's going to make you sway or feel intimate, and figuring out how to make that work is something that's been really fun. And it's really awesome to have everyone's different approach on it. You know, like, I grew up listening to a bunch of R&B stuff, whether it be Faith Evans, you know, like Biggie, like all that kind of stuff, you know. And a lot of that's also representing the gospel stuff. You know, Isaac listens to that as well. Man, Charlie, I know, I grew up on other stuff as far as like rock and things like that. And so you can understand like the energy that comes together, but figuring out how to do that, having a melody and having a hook, is something that was a little challenging, but fun to figure out. And I think that's something that we do well, is that we try to be as eclectic as possible in our own sound, but not being esoteric. You know, you don't want to be all over the place where like, oh, we play reggae now. Like, oh, we play like metal song now, you know, like, so it's just, it needs to have an identity, you know? And so we try to experiment with that. And I think that's one song that I really enjoy. I think came out really well. I think Technodrome is another one that mixes this EDM four on the floor drive with like kind of a soaring David Gilmour kind of solo. And like, you know, and it's that Pink Floyd feeling where it's just this heavy anthemic, melody, you know, something that everyone can sing to, and that's kind of the goal, I think, for me.
I was thinking a lot when I listened to this record, I was thinking a lot of Maggot Brain because of all the twists and turns that Maggot Brain takes, the Funkadelic record, it's a Funkadelic record, it's not a record. Yeah, I was thinking about all the twists and turns that that record takes and all the chops that those musicians have. And I know that funk is still in the background as one of the influences on you guys. And I can't help but think that this is, in many ways, even though you're more of an instrumental band than the Funkadelic was, that in many ways, this is your Maggot Brain in terms of bringing so much to bear on all of these songs. You know, the Shady Horns on Dormu, I mean, that's just dope. Like, to have the sense to think that horns belong there. Did you know that horns belong there before you brought the boys in to do that part?
Yeah, I think that was, so Charlie wrote that one, and it's definitely something that we had talked about, you know. And again, as an instrumental band, it's like, if you feel like there's if you feel that there's something that can be added to complete like the journey of this song or to complete, you know, this direction, it's also, you know, a skill set and trying to figure out, all right, who's the right person for this? Like, this has like that bump to it. It's a little, it's trappy. It's slower, much more down tempo than some of our stuff is normally. Yeah. It's a lot more patient. Who's a good artist to, or someone who can juxtapose this feel, you know, and the Shady Horns fit exactly what it is. They knew, we had ideas to, you know, but and communicated that to them. However, they knew what to do. And that's a beautiful thing about being able to communicate with that. And very honored that, you know, they wanted to hop on the tune like that. And they killed it and made it something completely different.
I think a big part of the release of this record is the videos, too, that you've done for it. Talk about hooking up with Danny Barbieri for the Let Out video, and Sammy Garrett, who you guys know really well, is in the video as well. Like, how did that all come about, and how important is adding this idea of video? Because, you know, it's not an MTV era anymore. It really is about getting it up on YouTube, I guess, these days. How important was it for you to make a video, and how did you even get to Danny and making such an incredible video?
Well, we know Danny for a while. I know she was working with Turquoise for a good amount of time, and so we've, you know, been friends for a little bit, just, you know, kind of seeing each other and seeing over years, like at all the festivals,
yeah,
stuff like that. And we were hanging out one day and drove back to New York City, and I was just inquiring about what she does. It just kind of came to be organically. We reached out, brought her out to the studio, and listened down to the songs, and kind of had this collaborative process of just like what we thought we wanted to do. And she helped us figure out what was possible, you know? So it was a cool give and take to kind of figure out, all right, this is our idea. This is our, you know, and this is how we want to go about it. So she did a great job for Moondub, which was a crazy video process. We went out to Vox Labs out in Brooklyn. Those guys did some crazy things with IBM, actually recreating like a lunar moon landing. And it was pretty sick that Danny had linked up with them, and they liked the music. And we, you know, went to their studio and made a ridiculous music video with robots and crazy video wall imaging. And it was a really eye-opening, awesome experience. It was definitely hot. It was definitely in the middle of summer. We had those astronaut suits, and I definitely lost 5 pounds that day, you know, for sure. But you know, everyone was troopers, and Danny and the whole team worked really hard, and I thought we created a fantastic piece together. And same with the Let Out, you know, that was a little bit more risque. And Sammy was great in it, and it was just a lot more fun, and let everyone know that we don't, you know, not necessarily take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, part about being out there, you know, especially with kind of like the notion of being somewhat of a prog band too, it's like, you know, there's not everyone at the shows or who are like in black and like counting like, you know, to 7 or whatever it may be. It's more encompassing, and like we like to have fun as well. And I think Danny did a great job of doing that. And then we also had another video directed by Sophia Cogner, which we recorded at Brooklyn Bowl for our single Make Your Move. And that was a lot of fun too, similar to the Let Out, being a little more lighthearted about who we are and what the music can be and what it can do. You know, cinematic nonetheless, and it can still be fun at the same time. You know,
you guys don't seem so competitive.
we keep it under wraps, you know. Just keep it in the van or keep it in the green room.
You wrote that song, right? That's that tune, Make Your Move, is all you. It's a bunch of loops and shuffles. You know,
none of these songs are, I can say, are all me or all Matt or Charlie or even Isaac. You know, I may start off with a bunch of ideas, you know, maybe get them 50 to 90%. But I've never come in with a song that's like, you know, basses loaded, grand slam. It's just not the nature of what we do. You know, I rely on Isaac to be Isaac and Charlie to be Charlie and so forth to, you know, be great at their instrument and articulate what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, and give them the space to do that. But Make Your Move was an idea that I started off with like on my keyboard like years ago. And, you know, I had pretty much the structure of the song, brought it to Matt expanded on it in Ableton and in his own way, brought it back to the band. And then we kind of figured out and polished it. And that was a great thing. You know, Moondub was another song where, you know, that was written a little while ago. And I said, Matt, I need a chorus. And gave me the chorus. And it happened in 5 minutes. The song was sitting for like 4 years, you know?
Now that you have your own studio in Long Island, is there this opportunity? I mean, you're going to be out on the road, obviously, making hay because you couldn't for a while. But when you're back home, is the idea to go into the lab as often as you can and continue to fool around and play with ideas that you have, you know, on your laptops and play with ideas that you have in your heads, because you have a resource now, you have an environment now where you can get some of the shit down, right?
Right. Well, that was the whole goal, you know, like, you know, even the Justice League has a headquarters, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you need an HQ. It's a place to build infrastructure. It's a place to sustain your business and what you have. And like, I think we have something that's really awesome. And I think there's the start of it to see, like, you know, what this record is us capturing that sound, you know, that's that room, that's that space. It's the vibe, it's the tension of the past year and all that kind of stuff. And you're exactly right. This is that opportunity. It provides us this time and space to do this in a place where there's no pressure as far as like, oh shit, like this costs X amount a day to be in the studio. We got to nail this down. Like overtime is ridiculous. You know, you don't have to worry about those things, you know? So it makes us a lot more comfortable and able to really hone in and fine tune and, you know, really have much more opportunities. And one thing too, to add to that is that we, you know, we're really looking forward to collaborating with a lot of people. You know, we're not too far from the city, so who's coming in or any homies, you know, whether it be vocalists or DJs, whoever it may be, can come in and we have a place that we can make magic, you know, and have fun.
I'm glad you mentioned collaboration, because there's a couple of things that I want to shout out. We played on one of our shows, we played a track from the Soundwave show in Atlantic City, the Fish Post Party from August 13th. And I thought it was really dope. First of all, I thought it was great that Robert Randolph sat in with you guys. It's just another layer of your sound, or another layer and another way for you guys to express yourselves. And again, the guys from Boombox also sat in with you. But, you know, what's that experience like going from stuff that's so, I don't want to say esoteric, but so fresh and new and exciting to playing Eleanor Rigby or Crosstown Traffic? I mean, you're ship shifting, you're moving the sonic palette all the time. Is that fun for you guys?
Absolutely, you know, and it keeps us fresh. And I think it's something that also brings people in, you know, being all instrumental, you know, is still tough for some people. You know, think about the threshold to break for, you know, all instrumental bands. You know, you think about, say, like Weather Report, you know, you have to be pretty specifically in a niche within the jazz world to break out of the fusion world, then to like finally be accepted. Or you look at a band like, say, like Steely Dan, obviously they have vocals, but it takes really smart craftsmanship to be able to make the public like something so particular.
Yeah.
You know, so be able to do cover sets or have a different outfit with someone like Robert Randolph, which could show a different side of what we do, is completely refreshing and really fun and helps overall like pull people in. You know, this past weekend at Resonance, we did a Stevie Wonder cover set, you know, where Isaac sang, and we had Kanika K. Moore from Doflamingo, fantastic singer, Mike Quinn and Jeff from Funk U, and Mike Quinn's from Doflamingo. So, you know, playing saxophone, it's a whole different thing. You know, we went from a 4-piece to an 8-piece, and like, that's a completely different experience. You know, people hearing Isaac sing, and then also, you know, singing harmonies and having other people sit in, it's a completely different thing that is still part of the Talk Total package, you know.
My boy Ganser sat in with you too, right, at Borderland?
Yeah, and then Mike, you know, and for me as a keyboard player, like, that's sick. Got to chill.
You know, right.
You guys could go, you know, go off and do the guitar thing, and you know, it's great. Mike's a really great player and a really good dude. And you know, we've been touring with Acreus and played shows with them and have stories too from like 2014. And so those guys have been in the hustle. So it, again, all those things are add to what we do, you know, and I think bring more people into make it a little bit more personable and have other people understand like who we really are.
I think I've asked this right. I've asked this before, but when are we going to have vocals on a record? When is Isaac just going to sing a couple tracks on a record? When is, when are you going to invite people to sing or drop some bars on a record? I mean, is that something that you think about? Is that something that you maybe want to experiment with, even if it's just a one-off? Is that something that's coming?
Absolutely. And to be honest, like that's what we're doing right now. You know, and that's kind of why you've also seen, or you know, seen more people sitting in and having opportunities. Like, you know, last Brooklyn Bowl we did, I think it was, we did Talking Hendrix with Nick Casarino. These things are just add, you know, this is getting people more comfortable with it, and we're also getting more comfortable with it ourselves and trying to find the right fit for what works. But we're completely open to that and actively like seeing that, and you know, we'll put the word out, and if there's anyone you think, let us know, you know.
Dude, continued success. I really love, like, I said it as soon as I heard the record, you know, Josh has become a really good friend over the last couple of years, and I got an early taste, and it's dope. Like, it's a really, people need to hear this record. I really think it's cool, and the stuff that you guys are doing live is really awesome. So continued success, dude. Like, you know, we're behind you 100%, and I know your fans are, and people who hear you for the first time. You're out on the road. Please go see these guys live. They're out on the road most of October, and then they're in Miami in December. So go see these guys live, and thanks so much for taking the time, AC. Really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you. Thanks for being in the corner, and yeah, man, we'll see you out there.
What a great talk with AC from Talk. Before we leave you, let's go back and listen to one more track off of Chaos Companion. Here is Dormammu featuring the Shady Horns.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.